This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire for Tuesday, August 3rd. Now, we are recording this late Monday night, super late, but we could not record late enough to get USA-Spain quarterfinal Olympic basketball into the pod. So when you get this on Tuesday morning, the U.S. could have lost, okay? They might have. We'll have to discuss it tomorrow. I'm doing Undisputed this week. Call time is super early, so I could not do the pod before Undisputed. All that being said, I did take a little nibble of Spain, 12.5. If you lose, you lose. It's not a bankroll play. I think it'll be a good game. Hopefully, it'll be a fun talk about. I'm looking forward to Luka versus the U.S. in the final, if that happens, for the gold medal. But anyways, we'll talk about that tomorrow. As for Monday, was there a bigger Monday this summer in sports news? Folks, from the Carson Wentz injury, foot surgery out, and you don't see this every day. It's not like 8 to 12 weeks. It was 5 to 12 weeks. We don't know when it's going to heal. That seems completely optimistic, 5 to 12 weeks. I mean, you've got guys even saying, oh, he might be ready for the opener. Unlikely, but maybe. Like, what? That, to me, is the Colts putting it out there that, hey, we ain't going for Nick Foles. We're not trading for Marcus Mariota. We're going to ride with Jacob Eason, which seems like a really, really bad idea. But if you are like me and you look at the Colts schedule, good luck at the beginning of the season, Colts. Remember, they made the playoffs last year. They're in a division that's not very good, but the schedule is not particularly easy. For the Colts. I personally think they will struggle out of the gate. They open at home against Seattle. And it's weird. I was kind of down on Seattle. And I read the Football Outsiders from Aaron Schatz, who was great, of course, on Monday's pod. And they're kind of bullish on Seattle. And there is some stuff that makes you want to be bullish. You know, I don't know if I'm willing to bet the over. But Seattle's going to be pretty good. So the Colts will be underdogs against Seattle. They'll be underdogs against the Rams. They'll be underdogs in Tennessee if they have Jacob Eason at quarterback. So you're opening against three teams that made the playoffs. Then Miami. And as if that foursome wasn't hard enough, Baltimore in week 5, it is a Monday night game in Baltimore. And oh yeah, that is the third straight road game. So first 5 weeks, 4 of the first 5 opponents made the playoffs. Folks, that they're staring 1-4 in the face, and frankly, that's with or without Carson Wentz, in my opinion. I personally, I cannot express enough how much I like the Jags to win that division. But the Carson Wentz injury, listen, man, this is a guy whose injury history is rich, dating back to college. Eagles, I mean, I'm out on the Colts, sorry. I'm officially punting on them, even if Carson Wentz is ready for like week 3. Like, I do not like this team. Now, maybe they back into the playoffs at 7-10 because the division stinks, but I'm sorry. I'm out on the Colts and Carson Wentz. All right, let's quickly move to NBA free agency.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
So there's so much happening in the NBA Monday that I didn't know if I should start with like the Miami Heat and Kyle Lowry. I didn't know if I should start with the Lakers, who are going to get fun nicknames. Like, I know Rob G's favorite movie is Last Vegas. We might just call this Last Angeles, or like the Golden Boys, you know, the Golden Girls, because they are all old dudes. I was on a couple text chains with guys making fun of the Lakers and how old they are. But I'm utterly fascinated by the Pelicans losing Lonzo Ball, and they don't seem too torn up about it. And folks, it got to the point that Bill Simmons, who I don't really follow on social media in any capacity, actually, but somebody sent me a text that he joked that he made some joke using the name John Cocktosin, which is from the movie Fletch, that some CIA agent named John Cocktosin says Zion's very unhappy and is leaving. Like, this is what we've been hammering away for months. I mean, Rob, I almost think dating back to like the end of the bubble. What was it that far? I don't know. But, you know, you want to get in early on some stuff, and you want to get in Dogecoin a little early, and you want to get in Tesla early. We were way early on this Zion disaster. Folks, they trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers. They get, oh, they got Lonzo, they got Ingram, they got Josh Hart, they got... They just lost Lonzo and replaced him with Devontae Graham. And they also replaced him with the Garrett Temple. Are you kidding me? Is this what we're doing? Jonas Valanciunas, Zion, Brandon Ingram, Devontae Graham, Garrett Temple. And then some young guys from last year. That's not a playoff team in the West. This is not looking good for Zion Williamson. And folks, I don't see a path to him staying. Short of Bradley Beal and the Wizards starting 0-10 and David Griffin saying, I'm willing to mortgage everything. Let's just dump everything. Give me Bradley Beal. We'll give you Ingram. We'll give you whatever else you want. That's not nailed down. Because, again, all these draft picks you've got, you can just cuddle with them at night because they're going to amount to nothing. They are. The Lakers aren't going anywhere. Now, they're fossils. But even if LeBron's out for a month, you still got Russell Westbrook and AD. Right? The Lakers are not going to be giving like a top 10 pick to the Pelicans. So this is just a total train wreck for the New Orleans Pelicans and Zion Williamson. And we could just start the clock ticking. Zion to the Knicks. It feels inevitable. I don't see why he stays in New Orleans. And that was my number one takeaway from free agency. There was no like huge names that moved. We're all waiting for Portland to make a move to keep Dame Lillard. Like, Portland re-signs Norman Powell for way too much money. Oh, okay. So when does Dame, like, how long does he wait to make that decision that, oh, I am ready to get the hell out of Dodge? You guys, I told you that I saw Drew Holiday come to Milwaukee and turn them from can't get over the hump to win the championship. I said, go get somebody, and y'all got nobody. No disrespect to Norman Powell, who's a nice player. But you've got to be disappointed if you're Dame. I think the Miami Heat are good. If you're asking me my pecking order in the East, Brooklyn Nets, obviously, they got the big three healthy. Number two, Miami Heat. The Miami Heat will now be able to trot out a defensive trio of Kyle Lowry, who at 35 is what he is offensively, but defensively, man, he is a beast. Kyle Lowry is a beast defensively. I saw the stat last, I think it's five seasons. The player who's taken the most charges is Kyle Lowry. And if you're into Jeopardy trivia, number two is Kemba Walker. Stunner. I was stunned. And then you got Jimmy Butler. And then you got Bam Adebayo. And they were able to keep Duncan Robinson. By the way, Duncan Robinson, what a story. I think he got 5 and 90. So he got 18 mil a year. This guy was playing Division III basketball until... like heaven and or the stars and the moon aligned, and he landed in Michigan's lap. He went from D3 to Michigan. He wasn't even one of the best players on the Michigan's team. Undrafted, NBA, and he's making $18 million a year. That is the American success story. Honestly, I mean, obviously he's 6'7" or whatever, so it's not like a Steph Curry success story, but... really, really proud of Duncan Robinson. I think they overpaid him, but still, 18 mil. Hey, man, get that paper. And they kept Tyler Hero. They got Kendrick second to none. Awesome awesome nickname that I kind of came up with or stole from a boxer. But I think the Heat are second. I think the Bucks, the defending champs, will be third. They lost P.J. Tucker. Not easily replaceable. Good role player. And I think just the nature of that long run, the just exhausted. Holiday and Middleton at the Olympics. Like I see the Bucks falling back a little bit. And I don't know if I'm ready, Rob. Is this too hot of a take? Or can the Chicago Bulls leap up to fourth in the East? I mean, I know Atlanta's still there and the Knicks are good. The Knicks, by the way, the Knicks gave Evan Fournier, I think $78 million. Is that right, Rob? 78? Yeah. $78 million for Evan Fournier. So basically he goes to the Celtics. He can't do jack squat. He goes to the Olympics. Looks awesome, beats the U.S. The Knicks back up the Brinks for Evan Fournier. Now, I don't know. He doesn't play a lot of D, so we'll see what happens with him and Thibodeau. But the Knicks are a strong contender for four. Who am I? 76ers, we'll see what happens with Ben Simmons. They're probably still a top four team. I don't know what they're getting for Simmons. I mean, I think I have to put Chicago in the mix. Probably not for four, more like 5-6. But... Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso, who they stole from the Lakers. Listen, we'll get to the Lakers in a minute. Alex Caruso is a nice addition. He is one of the best defensive guards in the league. That's not an exaggeration. So you got Lonzo, Caruso, Zach LaVine, Vucevic, the kid Pat Williams, who had a pretty good rookie year. I think those are the pieces there. Billy Donovan, a head coach. I think they'll definitely be a playoff team. I think Orlando is probably contending for a playoff spot. Obviously, can't forget about Atlanta, but East got a little better. Rob, before we move to the Lakers, any thoughts on Kyle Lowry and Evan Fournier and all these Eastern teams?
Well, let me first start off with the Pelicans. You know, you had about Zion.
It's not that hot.
Just to give, and it's not that hot, but let me just give some context to America and what they're, you know, they let Lonzo Ball go for nothing, basically, because they got Satoransky, a second round pick.
Hey, Satoransky's playing the Olympics. He's not nothing, okay? He's a Garrett solid Temple. Player.
And they compounded that by trading a first round pick to Charlotte for Devontae Graham. If you look at just his stats, you're like, oh, he's a good player. He's not bad. You know, he was like 18-7 that last year before LaMelo Ball got there. And then you dive a little deeper and you're like, oh, he's a career 36% shooter.
Yeah.
36.
Yeah, he punched above his weight class last year and reality will set in.
Last year, he shot 37% from the field, the worst by any player with at least 650 attempts. Mm. Yeah. Good luck to my man, David Griffin, who, again, because he smiles and is good with the media, continues to get a free pass.
Yeah, I think the move is you get a GM job. Once you get fired, you go to ESPN, you befriend all the reporters, and then they're never going to criticize you because you're a super nice guy. Right?
Of course.
That the move? Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely the move. David Griffin is totally botching this completely in New Orleans.
And we should have been on top. I mean, we were on top of this early, but nationally as a sports media culture should have been on this a couple of weeks ago when Jake Fisher, who's again, is a friend of the show. We had him on here a couple of weeks ago. He mentioned in a column in Bleacher Report explaining the behind the scenes, what led to Willie Green getting hired in New Orleans as the head coach. And in it, he says that Jacques Vaughn, who was the assistant with the Nets, was the front runner. He was going to get the job until David Griffin says, I want to have a say on who gets what kind of playing time, who the starters are, because in his mind, Kira Lewis and Nickeil Alexander Walker were the point where the guard backcourt of the future. So we should have known then that this was going to go down really, really poorly. But even then, I don't think we expected it to go down the way that it has.
Just brutal. I feel bad for Zion. And honestly, like, Walker is a nice young player. Lewis is a solid young player. But again, like, they're not getting you to the playoffs. Like, I don't even know if they can produce like Cameron Payne did in the playoffs. Do you? I'm just talking in like the regular season. Cam Payne's like a 6-year veteran. Like, he's been around the block. It's tough to win with 20-year-olds in the NBA. It just is difficult.
Yeah, no doubt. And shifting over to the East, I think you're a little higher on Miami than I am. Oh. I do like their defensive abilities with Lowry and Jimmy Butler and PJ Tucker. I don't think he even mentioned they got PJ Tucker.
Yeah, that's a nice idea. They're going to try to make him their Jay Crowder, right?
Yeah, but I think that they're just going to try to win games like in the 90s. And that's going to win you a lot of games. It's going to be successful, kind of like the Knicks were in the regular season. But I don't feel comfortable with their offensive firepower going up against Brooklyn. Or Milwaukee. Huh. And if you're Miami, your goal is to win a championship with that roster because they already locked in the Jimmy Butler max extension until he's like 37. So
yeah.
I don't know if I like
that. So here's the problem with Miami, Rob. Like, everybody wants to say, oh, they just got swept by the Bucks. They stink. People forget they beat the Bucks in the bubble. They Correct. Then went to the finals. They were exhausted, and you could see it from their play all season long. They never got really their act together. They couldn't get their legs back. Butler was totally gassed. I mean, go look at his heroic performances in the finals. Dragic was hurt. They never got, you know, healthy. And I'm not surprised they got blasted. Like an idiot, I thought the Heat had a chance, but I clearly was not aware of how exhausted they were. I think they will be immensely better than they were this past year. Significantly better.
Well, I mean, that's a low bar considering they got racked by COVID and they had struggled just to get into the playoffs there at the end. I'd like to see what they do with the rest of the roster. I don't want to pass judgment too quickly because you brought up Kendrick Nunn. I don't think he's going to be there. They
where's he going?
They don't have the money to keep him unless he's going to stay for a veteran minimum contract.
And it's tough It's tough to leave that Miami lifestyle, that tax thing. Like, unless we saw, and we'll get to the Lakers in a sec. I know everybody's waiting for the Lakers because we have a lot of fans here in Los Angeles who listen to the pod. Just be patient. It's coming. But if you're Kendrick Nunn, I even said if you're Kemba Walker, you know, you've made $125 million in your career if you're Kemba. Do you say, you know what? I kind of want to win this year. I'm not going to play a lot. I'll come off the bench. I'll raise my stock. My body will come back to normal because I've been hammered by injuries. You know, Kemba was burnt out in Charlotte. They ran him into the ground for who, for what. And now, you know, maybe Kemba takes more or takes less to go somewhere. I don't know. That's a possibility. I don't know if Nunn will do the same because he's, you know, a much younger player. He's probably looking to just get paid.
Yeah, I'm sure he could get close to the mid-level from somebody because he's a good young player. But I that actually dovetails to, I think, is the biggest loser or one of the biggest losers of night one of free agency, and that's soon-to-be former Laker Dennis Schroeder. Once that New Orleans deal went down and Devontae Graham took up that big chunk of money, Dennis Schroeder, like whoever was advising these guys, hey, you're going to be able to get $20+ million on the market, be patient, should get fired.
Oh, that's harsh. Was it Schroeder's agent or was it Schroeder who rejected the Lakers' $84 million deal?
Well, then his agent needs to be honest with him and say, hey, I don't know if you can get that on the open market.
Well, the problem is, you know, Schroeder was on the Lakers. They saw what other guys like KCP had done, and they were probably like, man, you can get paid. But where they miscalculated was, oh, Anthony Davis is going to get hurt, and then Dennis Schroeder will shit his pants in game four. I think he was 0-for-9 in like 30 minutes or whatever. Remember that game?
I do.
Totally irrelevant. He looked, the moment was too big for him. And now Schroeder, you're right. I don't know where he gets any money. Who's paying him?
I mean, he can't come back to the Lakers because the Lakers, I think they've already decided they don't want him. So does he take a one-year mid-level $9 million contract to prove it?
But where? Where can you prove it? That's the only issue. It's like, geez, you look around at the standings and you're like, point guard is the most... I mean, honestly, guys, Lonzo Ball's not a top 15 point guard in the league. And he got $21 million from the Bulls. Now, I don't know how much this is his agent just bending Chicago over and just saying, hey, take this. But I'm stunned, frankly. $21 million? That to me is the biggest stunner. I mean, I like getting him. I like the addition. Lonzo and Caruso is something in the backcourt, but you have Zach LaVine. Like, I don't know where the minutes are coming from, but that's not my mess. What about Indiana? Is there any way Indiana looking to maybe save money tries to get off Brogdon and does something for Schroeder? Lakers could really use Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're going to be able to. I mean, Brogdon's only making $18 million, so it's not like it's
Schroeder's at about, what, 20?
He wants 20, so I don't know if that works. I mean, you brought up Kemba Walker. Maybe that's the deal where you say, hey, 2 years, $50 million for Schroeder, and you give
Schroeder
us the—
back to OKC? The only problem
give
is
us
he was there.
The 2 years, $70 million left of Kemba. Like, we'll take the lesser of your problems kind of thing.
But Colin Sexton? Is there an appetite for that?
Well, they just got Ricky Rubio. So it's like, I don't know where he can end up. I mean, aside from Oklahoma City, but they already have, like you said, they got Kemba and they also have Shea Gilgeous Alexander.
And again, Schroeder can be difficult. You know, he's when you're on bouncing around multiple teams, there's a reason that people aren't keeping you. All right, let's get to the Lakers, Rob.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
They went and grabbed Dwight Howard, which everybody saw coming. No surprise there. They grabbed Trevor Ariza, another non-surprise. But the other two were, I thought, pretty nice gets. Wayne Ellington, former North Carolina player. I didn't realize he was so old. He's turning 34 in November. And Kent Bazemore, who, didn't he have a beef with Bradley Beal last year?
Yeah,
I think something happened between
those about the MVP.
Bazemore's a very likable guy, by all accounts. Like, he's a nice wing. Wayne Ellington, solid. He ranked 28th among shooting guards in defensive real plus minus. Like, that's, I was stunned to see that. Now, Malik Monk, another shooting guard, ranked 115th out of 116. Wayne Ellington, 28th. That's what you get with a veteran, Malik Monk, a young guy. You don't play no D. By the way, if you're wondering who was dead last among shooting guards, defensive real plus minus, Kevin Porter, the young kid who was dynamic and the Rockets think is their future. Yeah, anyways. Personally, Rob, it sounds good. And then when you, somebody sent me a link. I'm sorry, not a link, but like an image of the Lakers roster. And I posted it on my IG stories. And it, you look at it and you're like, holy shit, what? This is the roster? I mean, Rob, I'm just going to prattle off the names for you. Guards, Russ, Wayne Ellington, Austin Reeves, Joel Ayayi. The latter two are rookies. Forwards, LeBron AD, Trevor Ariza, Horton Tucker, Alphonso McKinney. Centers, Dwight Howard, Marc Gasol. This is an ancient team. Now, we all know that LeBron likes old guys to win with. That's how he won in Cleveland. That's how he won. You need those veterans. You can't play with young rookies. I don't know. I don't know how pleasing on the eye it's going to be after the top three guys. Who's your fourth best player? THT? Wayne Ellington? It can't be Wayne Ellington. He's never been the fourth best player on an NBA team, ever.
It would probably have to, I mean, in terms of just being the best, it'd probably have to be THT.
Gasol's extremely limited. Gasol barely, he was a liability bit in the playoffs. We know what Dwight Howard is, six baby mamas and, six blocks a game or whatever it is. Ariza is old and, kind of had a rough run last year. Rob, this team has a lot of just, the only thing that jumps out to me is they're ancient. Like, this is going to be by far the oldest team in the league. I don't think there's any way around that. There's no, I saw a stat, ESPN, I think Sports and Info or News and Info said that this will be the oldest team in Lakers franchise history. Kind of stunning. Are they still the best in the West?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let me just start off by saying this. I think that the way that this roster is built right now as constructed is a better fit than what they had last season.
Oh, well, but now, what did they do last
season? Was more talented.
They went with Schroeder, Harrell, and who was the other guy they picked up in free agency?
Wes Matthews.
That's right.
Who may or may not come back still. We don't know. But
another fossil.
But it was clear then that when they got the Schroeder and Trez specifically, that those were made for the regular season. It was going to be a compressed year. We wanted to keep the miles down on LeBron and AD. And so that was what the idea was. Didn't work out. This team, even for all their age, has a clear idea in mind how they want to be built. It's LeBron, Russ creating for everybody. AD is the only guy who plays defense, basically, and he's the big finisher. And everybody else is just a spot-up shooter, and that's what they're planning to do. That being said, the way the roster is being built, you mentioned it's very old, it's part of the curse that is GM LeBron. And when I say that, he got a championship, so it's hard to really knock it. But everywhere LeBron James goes, he leaves it in a terrible place once he leaves. Because when he's on your roster, draft picks don't matter, young players don't matter, cap space doesn't matter. So you are going to mortgage your future every single time. And it's fitting now that with this current Lakers team that we have, and I don't think they're going to get any young players going forward, the only asset that they have left since LeBron showed up, they traded all their picks for AD, all the young guys are pretty much gone now that Caruso's out, Kuzma's out, their only asset is a fellow Clutch Sports client. I don't think that's a coincidence. So if you're
I don't have a problem with it. Right. You know what comes with it? Spotlight, national TV games, championship, parade. That's what comes with it. The Heat took that chance. He left them in ruins. He got back to the finals a few years later. Cavs, they're not going back anytime soon. But before LeBron, they had never sniffed the finals, right? Did Brad Daugherty and Larry Nance even get and Mark Price even get him to the conference finals? I don't know. So, like, I think you make that trade-off. Listen, before LeBron got there, the Lakers had, I think, the worst five-year stretch in the history of the Lakers franchise.
That is correct.
So, like, I'm making that trade any day of the week. I did just look this up, Rob. Wayne Ellington, in his career, has played for 9 teams, including the Lakers. Did you? I didn't know that.
Yes. Fun fact, everybody that they have signed as of 11:45 p.m. Eastern, we're recording this, is a former Laker. Kent Bazemore, Dwight Howard, Wayne Ellington, and Trevor Ariza.
Bazemore, did he play games?
Former Lakers, yes.
Wow. So another word on Ellington. He's made $45 million in salary in his career. That I know that sounds like a lot, but when you take away the agent and taxes, you're looking at, you know, $20 million over, 10 years? Yeah, $20 million over like 10, 11 years. But here's what, and we talked about this with the Jared Dudley factor. When you come to L.A. late in your career, if you are savvy, you can get yourself on TV. Hey, let's bring in Laker Wayne Ellington. He's doing a TV spot. Then you go on some podcasts. You get your media chops. Oh, look, there's an FS1 studio gig. Do you want to come in and talk about the Lakers? Do you want to go to ESPN and talk about it? I mean, like, the opportunities out here can lead to a post-career that involves in the media. I mean, James Worthy is out here in L.A. doing the games for Spectrum. He's the local guy. I mean, you can find a bunch of former Lakers in the media out here in L.A. Like, that's the move. And if you're Wayne Ellington, who shot 42% from three, by the way, on 6 attempts a game, that's pretty awesome. That's the best mark of his career outside of 2014, but he only shot 1 a game. Like, I think this is a smart move for Ellington. I think this is a smart move for the Lakers. I still think the Lakers are firmly the team to beat in the West. I can't put them above the Nets right now. That being said, Rob, you know our guy Cuffs, right? Rob?
Yes, yes. Yeah. I was nodding. I'm sorry.
No. Did you see what he put out there on Twitter? I had to text him immediately and ask, like, listen, dude, I got to ask you. I'm not going to put his business out there, but I will read the tweet for you because it came out of nowhere in the middle of free agency, and it was like, okay, what? All right, so here's what Cuff said. And remember, this is the guy who's plugged in. He came on this pod, talked about Russell Westbrook over a month ago. Okay? This was early on, in the right after free agency started. Okay? Cuff's the legend, a.k.a. Should we say his name on here or probably not?
Nope. He's very clear. He's known as Cuff's the legend.
Okay. Cuffs the legend said, burning sage won't save the Brooklyn Nets from what's about to happen. Okay? Listen, I'm not gassing up Cuffs. He's a nice guy. He obviously is very plugged in very much to the NBA. We know that. There's no denying it. From save the Brooklyn Nets from about what's about to happen. So burning sage is a Kyrie thing. What's going on with Kyrie? I don't know. I know he's donating and doing some nice things in the community, no doubt about it. But I do wonder what's going on with Kyrie Irving. Where's his mindset? Is he pissed that he's always hurt? Is he thinking about an early retirement? Is he unhappy with the James Harden, Kevin Durant triumvirate? I don't know. But something clearly is going on in Brooklyn. They did lose Jeff Green. Did you see that, Rob?
Sneaky yeah. Move.
I mean, he was like one of their, probably their best culture guy. Veteran, listen to the coach. I told you, I know guys out here, Steve Nash used to live in my neighborhood. Nash's favorite player on the team last year was Jeff Green. This Jeff Green is a loss. I don't know. All right, Rob, quick takeaway. Any thoughts on the Clippers who didn't really do much? And there was a story that came out from Ramona Shelburne about the problem where in 2019, Russell Westbrook called Kawhi Leonard and said, let's team up in L.A. before Kawhi picked the Clippers. Kawhi turned around and called Paul George. Pretty dirty. you know, Kawhi is one of these quiet dudes, and you really got, it's like, I forget what the exact saying is, but you've got to be worried about the quiet dude. He's the guy who's going to like sucker punch you or pull a gun or whatever. The quiet guy, you always be afraid of him. They're crazy. Something's going on. That's a pretty dirty move from Kawhi Leonard. It's pretty clear that Russell Westbrook has been itching to get back here since then. Can you imagine that? Rob, Russ was an MVP candidate. He won an MVP. He's averaging a triple-double. He calls Kawhi and says, yo, what's up? Let's do this. Kawhi's like, okay, I'll think about it. And then he just goes and calls up Paul George instantly. He's like, yo, come on out here. Now, I wonder if he said, hey, Russ called me, but I want you. Kawhi could not have done that, do you?
Well, that's pretty much the way it was reported. Let me just say this. Two quick thoughts on that. Number one, you notice that even though Chris Haynes, who's very plugged in, said that Kawhi planned on meeting with other teams when free agency started because he's technically a free agent, not a single team with cap space met with Kawhi Leonard. So I think, number one, that tells you that they think he's going to resign. But number two, right. I think that story that Ramona Shelburne put out where he's like, hey, we'd love to meet with you about Russell Westbrook and blah, blah, blah. And he goes around and uses that to his advantage to get what he really wants. So I could see other teams be like, why would we want to give our pitch to Kawhi Leonard knowing he's just going to re-sign and then tell them exactly what our plans
are? We're doing, yeah.
That's number one. Number two, this might be an unpopular opinion, but I think Kawhi made a mistake picking Paul George over Russell Westbrook.
That's unpopular.
Paul George is the more efficient player. He's a very good player.
Better defender.
I'm not just saying because Russell Westbrook on the Lakers. I think what Kawhi Leonard is missing is what Russell Westbrook has, where you need that emotional leader on your team. And Kawhi is just not that. That's not what his forte is. Paul George is absolutely not that. We saw plenty of reports that two seasons ago, Clippers team, where they were just laughing at him in the locker room when he's trying to give these rah-rah speeches because no one took him seriously.
That's not your worst take. I'll just say that.
I think Russ could have been a better fit for him.
Yeah, Russ offers some sort of leadership. Paul George, less so. Yeah. Now, you could argue with another star, does Russ offer that leadership? I don't know that there's evidence of that. But solo, yeah, sure. So just before we put this to bed, here are six names that the Lakers apparently are in the mix for to fill out their roster. Carmelo Anthony, 40% three-point shooter last year. Although it sounds like he's trying to get more money and, you know, claiming he may go somewhere else as well. Danny Green, who was jettisoned after the bubble. J.J. Redick, I think I've heard there's zero chance he's coming to the Lakers. Patty Mills, the Lakers apparently have competition for him. Golden State, someone else is looking at him. This one's interesting. Lou Williams, 39% from three. We know he's an L.A. guy. I mean, I'm sure he likes Atlanta and the strip clubs down there. I wonder, is he, I don't want to say a problem, but, you know, Lou Williams kind of like does his own thing, you know? Pretty messed up if you dump Montrezl Harrell and then bring over Lou Will. They were like best buddies. The sixth guy would be Rudy Gay, 38% three-point shooter. I think if the Lakers get one or two of those guys, that's a huge win. I don't think they have any chance for J.J. Redick. I don't know. Do you think Danny Green would want to come back here after his exit?
Oh, 1,000%. I think he would want to. I think, you know, the chance to win a championship would be too much to pass up. I think he's going to end up staying in Philadelphia, though, because they got the most money they can offer him.
Rudy Gay's interesting. Remember how good he was?
Yeah.
Rudy Gay was incredible coming out of UConn.
He was really good.
Yeah, I'm surprised he had injuries, but I'm surprised he was never like a superstar. Why don't you guess this, Rob, but we'll close out on this. How many All-Star games has Rudy Gay made in his career?
Zero.
Damn, how did you know that?
Because he's played in the Western Conference most of his career.
He made the All-Rookie team. He was the number 8 overall pick in 2006, and he made zero All-Star games.
And he would be my choice of those six guys if I had to choose one.
Well, he's a wing. He's a long 3-and-D guy. Mm-hmm. I think Patty Mills is better. That draft was pretty checkered, 2006. Bargnani went first. LaMarcus Aldridge went second. Adam Morrison, oof. Tyrus Thomas, ouch. Sheldon Williams from Duke, oh my gosh. Brandon Roy, he was really good. Randy Foyer, I don't know if I told you guys a story about how I covered a playoff game when I was covering high schools in New Jersey. And this team I was covering in Passaic, New Jersey, pretty sketchy area. they made this run to the state championship. I'm pretty sure they lost in the state championship. But along the way, they're facing this team from Newark East Side. And all I've been hearing, and again, this is like, you know, way back in like 2002 or 3, like internet was in its infancy. Oh man, this guy Randy Foye is going to be big time. He's going to Villanova. And I get to the game and I'm like, oh, he's not that big. He dunked in the first quarter and I was like, holy shit, this guy's... I mean, again, he doesn't look huge and he just rose up on a fast break and dunked. And I was just like, wow. Because again, I'm covering high schools in New Jersey and like, yeah, there were some dunks, but not many. And for this guy to do it early and see the bounce, and he was an awesome player, but his team wasn't very good and they lost. Randy Foye had a pretty nice college run and a really nice NBA career. At any rate, back to the 2006 draft. Patrick O'Bryant, 9th to the Warriors. Mohamed Sané, number 10. J.J. Redick, 11. Not the strongest draft. Rudy Gay. Yeah, we'll see. All right, so anyway, that does it for the pod tonight. We're going to have a lot tomorrow. I'm sure there's a lot more interesting stuff happening. By the way, NFL news is starting to come fast and furious. That Carson Wentz story, fascinating stuff. I don't think we're going to see any other quarterback moves. Although the Nick Foles lobbying to get to Indy was fascinating. If you guys search out that clip, I put it on my Twitter page that basically Nick Foles was like, come get me, I'm playing with third stringers. That's like the code that he was basically saying. It was crazy. So August, I mean, he's definitely thirsty. August is here. It's football. We got some Olympics left. And of course, NBA free agency. It's fun. And catch me on Undisputed again today. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.